Let us turn in God's Word to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, reading from verse 25 through verse 40 of this psalm. Our text is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the words of the Lord's Prayer that have to do with the third prayer request. Your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. That's from Matthew 6, and we'll, after the reading of Psalm 119, also turn to our catechism on page 85 and read from Lord's Day 49. But first let us hear from the scriptures, Psalm 119, and we'll read verse 25 through verse 40. Verse 25, this is God's word. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law. Graciously, I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread. For your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. So far the reading of this passage and of God's word. And we want to turn yet to the Catechism, Lord's Day 49, page 85 at the back of the Psalter, if you would like to follow along. Lord's Day 49 on page 85, question and answer 124. So here we have some biblical instructions summarized for us concerning this third petition. Which is the third petition is the question, and the answer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the struggles, the big struggles that parents have with their children has to do with the will of their children. How many of us know, or else we can remember, battles, so-called battles of the will. Mom saying to you, you will eat your beans. And you saying, at least in your head, I will not. And on that goes. Who wins? Or maybe as parents, you telling your child, you will be quiet and go to sleep. And the child says, I will not be quiet and go to sleep. And one of the great challenges then is, as parents, how to mold and how to shape that will of the children whom the Lord has given to us. Sometimes we can be utterly discouraged in that, can't we? But then we remind ourselves, this is what we signed up for when we became parents. It is both privilege and challenge for all parents. But more than children conforming to our will, all of us, children included, all of us must learn to conform to God's will. Isn't it true that children, in relation to ourselves as parents, show us what we are so often like in relationship to God? In other words, the Lord God says that His will is to be done, but we are saying, no, our will is what we are pursuing. The Lord says, walk in this or that particular way. And the response of our hearts so often is, no way, I'm going to walk the path that I choose, that I prefer. Once more, it is the Lord's Prayer that shocks us, doesn't it? And this time with regard to this whole subject of our will. We've already highlighted in previous messages how God-focused this prayer is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, His holy name. And Your kingdom come, His kingdom come. But now the focus is on this whole issue of will and whose will is going to be obeyed. Now what's in view here is not so much God's will of decree as God's will of command. In other words, not the secret path that the Lord has laid out for us, but the revealed will that the Lord has prescribed for us. What we read about in His Word, for example, all His commandments, all His statutes and judgments and ordinances, and how we relate to those. Will of decree and will of command do intersect in this way, that sometimes the Lord's way for us is very hard, and then we have to trust Him and follow Him in that respect, submit to His revealed word in relation to His decreed word or His decreed will. But what's in view especially then is this, what has He said, and now what are we going to do? Where is He leading, and how are we going to be in relationship to God? And with this third prayer of the Lord's Prayer, this third petition, the issue is, what we're saying is, when we say, Father, Your will be done, we're saying, Father, may it be that You are always obeyed, that You are always feared, that You are always followed. Is that something that you regularly think about and pray about in relationship to your own life? Is that one of the overarching concerns that you have for yourself, that your life may be offered up to God as a life of submission and obedience at every point and in every way? Well, and this is also how we are to train our children, isn't it? Because they grew up thinking life's all about their will. And they must learn that all important is God's will. Only God can teach that to them ultimately. But He makes use of parents. He works through parents and the instruction, the example, and the passion that parents bring to their family life and to their family prayers. So this afternoon we want to study this third petition, praying, Father, Your will be done. And 4 points. First of all, what we learn. Praying, Father, Your will be done. What we learn. And what we learn is that there is a realm where God's will is done. Isn't that from the words of the prayer itself? Father, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, who's in heaven? Who's in heaven? We know from Scripture that in heaven there are the souls of believers. Or as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, the spirits of just men made perfect. Where do Christians go when they die? Their bodies go to the ground, but their souls go up to be with Christ, their head. Their souls go up to heaven. And Revelation 7 verse 15 gives us a picture of the activity of these souls, of these spirits of just men. And what they are doing there is they are serving God day and night. In other words, they are doing the will of God. And they are doing it perfectly. So, believers in their souls are in heaven doing God's will. But also, Scripture brings out that in heaven are the angels. Same passage from Hebrews 12, we read about in heaven there being an innumerable or an uncountable host of angels, company of angels. Revelation 5, we learn that there are many, many angels around the throne. And Psalm 103, we just sang from that a few moments ago, from verse 20. that these angels, these servants of God, these ministering spirits whom God has made, they are doing His word. Beautiful way that the psalmist describes the angels there in Psalm 103. They are doing His word. They are heeding the voice of His word. You know, we can't always say that about our children, can we? It might be kind of quiet in the house. I'm sure you have this, Sean and Becky too sometimes. It gets awfully quiet. And you don't comfort yourself saying, oh, the boys are doing what we tell them to. No, you get suspicious, right? You get a bit nervous and you go check it out. Because that's how kids are. That's how human beings are before the face of God, left to themselves. That's not how the angels are in the presence of God. And all throughout His realm, they are creatures who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. So we learn very quickly in this petition that there is a realm where God's will is done. Done by believers, made perfect. Done especially by the angels in heaven. Isn't it helpful to be reminded for a moment that there is a heaven? The Lord Jesus already gave us a hint of that, or a reminder of that in the opening address of the prayer, when He said, in this manner pray, our Father in heaven. And now with this third petition, as it is in heaven. You see, He keeps wanting to bring us, or to bring to our minds, this reality, this realm, this sphere, this other world. And that's important because you and me, we tend to be so earthbound, so focused, so just looking ahead, not conscious of all that is around us. Jesus' prayer reminds us there is a heaven. God has His throne there. The saints live in glory there. And the angels are all about. And they are doing the word and will of God there. And to realize that God's will is done in heaven. It's not done here on earth very much, is it? At least not His will of command. His will of decree is always done. God is always in charge. But His will of command is often despised. And man's will seems to prevail. But we are reminded there is a realm where things are different. But not only that, in terms of what we learn, we learn that there's a realm where God's will is done. We also learn that God's will is done there so very well. The prayer is that it may be on earth as it is in heaven. So how is it done in heaven? Well, here the Catechism gives us two words that really encapsulate the point. It gives us the word willingly. The angels and the spirits of just men made perfect, they willingly do the will of God in heaven. Willingly means, from a negative point of view, no backtalk, no murmuring, no grumping their way through it. Positively means that when they're doing it willingly, they're doing it cheerfully. They're doing it with all of their heart engaged in it. And we make this point with our children all the time, don't we? I know I've shared that with you before. That obedience, when it's true obedience, is doing what mom and dad say all the way, right away, and with a happy heart. Especially that happy heart part can be such a challenge, can't it? Happy heart means no grumping, no growling, no pouting. Can you do it with a smile? Well, that's how the angels are in heaven. Doing the will of God, as it were, with a smile. That's what's implied anyway in Psalm 103, verse 20. How they are there. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who do His word, who heed the voice of His word. Think of all the missions that we read about in the Scripture that the angels are involved in. And even through the book of Revelation, how they are all there and they're true servants of the Lord. So willingly, and then the other word that the Catechism hands us is the word faithfully, meaning that they are steadfast, they are perfect, they are entire, they are without fail doing God's word. Again, Psalm 103, that's the point, isn't it? Doing the voice of His word. So the angels in heaven are like soldiers with a commander. When the commander says, come, those soldiers come. When God says come, those angels come. When God says go, those angels go. You know that hymn, Trust and Obey, and that line in that hymn that says, what He says, we will do. We're not always there, are we? What He says, we will do. But the angels are always there. What He says, they will do. And so we read in Scripture about angels guarding Eden, and rescuing Lot and assisting Daniel and appearing to Mary and striking Herod and rescuing Peter and so on. We read about the angels doing all these different things, and they're doing them faithfully. There is nothing of God's will that the angels leave undone. And when you think about that, aren't these creatures and the spirits of just men made perfect too, aren't they worthy of admiration? Not worship, but admiration. And can't it happen too that we, even as we think about this, feel a bit of, can we say, holy envy of these creatures? Because they do what we so often don't do and won't do, God's will. And they never do what we so often do, their own will or our own will. So there should be even a spirit of holy competition, knowing that there's another realm and that angels are doing God's will there, and they're doing it willingly and faithfully, should stir us up to say, let's not be outdone by the angels. And that leads really to the next point, what we work at. When we are rightly praying this prayer, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what do we work at? What's the spirit that's responding and cooperating with this prayer in our life? What's it to be like? Well, three things that we can point out. One is that if we're rightly praying this prayer, won't we be busy learning God's will? Right? I mean, it's obvious in a way, but it's still important and worth mentioning. If we're going to do God's will, if that's what we care about, then, and we're praying for it, then what is it? What is God's will? And here it's vital to remember that God has told us what His will is. He has given us, of course, the Bible, all 66 books of it, which must be our first and foremost focus and occupation or preoccupation in our spiritual life. We should be such lovers of the Bible, knowing that in the Bible and with the Bible, God has said, here is my will for you. Here is how I would have you to live. Here is what I want you to know as you make your way through life. Especially the Bible. We could also mention books or teachers who help us with the Bible. But always back to the Word. What has God said? Remember what He says we will do. And then, so that's what He has told us. He has given us His will. But then there's the question, are we learning that? Are we busy learning God's will? So that means, do we take time or make time to read and study the Bible? Isn't it true that that can be a habit so hard to start and so easy to stop? Why is that? Why is it that the one thing that God has given us that is the revelation of His will, why is it that we can have such a hard time opening it and spending time with it, and we can be so quick to close it and put it away? We've done that. We can move on. Get on with life. Doesn't Scripture itself urge us to a different path? Think of the words of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves shall not wither, day and night. We're to consider learning God's will never a chore, but always a privilege. Yes, a delight. And it's good to challenge ourselves, isn't it? Do you have a plan when it comes to Bible reading? Do you have a structure? Do you have a commitment also around the table? Yes, also around our time with our children, teaching them, nurturing them, making sure that in their life they are learning God's will. So that's the first thing in terms of what we work on. When we're rightly praying this prayer, then we'll be busy learning God's will. Secondly, won't we be busy doing His will? Indeed, that's especially the point, isn't it? Doing it also like the angels do it, willingly and faithfully. It's the very heart of the prayer. Father, your will be done. Not just learned, not just talked about, not just studied, not just admired, done. We're to do it. Think how this is many times emphasized in Scripture. Think of when Jesus, in Mark chapter 3, his He was busy teaching, and Mary came at least with the brothers and sisters, and they wanted to speak to him. And someone kind of got Jesus' attention. Your mother's here, your brothers are here. And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brothers? My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and who do it. Or think of that parable Jesus told of the wise man and of the foolish man. Our kids all know that song, right? The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man did the same, and the one house stood firm and the other house fell flat. And what was the difference? What was the explanation? Well, Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And then there's James 1, well-known words of James, the writer of that epistle. He said, do not be hearers only, but doers of the word. And let's realize that this is relevant to all of life, doing the will of God. If we talk just a moment about how to apply this or the way this works out in our day-to-day life, isn't it true that in many ways it's hardest at home? It's hardest at home. For example, husbands loving our wives. That's God's will for you. When you're a husband, to love your wife as Christ has loved the church and given himself for her. To love your wife with self-sacrificing love. That is God's will. So you pray, Father, your will be done. You're saying, Father, help me to be a husband who does that. Or a wife who submits to her husband, who follows his lead, who encourages him, as the church also submits to Christ. Children, the instructions of the Lord are very clear also to you. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So that is the will of God for you. What does God want me to do in my life? 5 years old, 10 years old. Well, one of the very important things is God says, make sure you're respecting and honoring and following your parents' lead. Fathers, not provoking your children to wrath. Another instruction. You see, God's will is very practical, isn't it? And in a way, very pointed. Hits us where we can struggle the most, where our own will so often likes to assert itself. And where we have to learn, as we said in the Catechism, to renounce our own will and to embrace God's will, which is only good. It's also in terms of interpersonal relationships. Not to get unrighteously or unnecessarily angry with each other. Think of the instruction that Paul gives in Colossians chapter 3 to bear with one another. It's so hard to bear with each other because, especially when people irritate each other, then our own will just gets in the way and wants to resolve it our way. God says, bear, forbear, and forgive. Humble yourselves one before another. Yes, and make sure especially to put on love, self-denying love, and care for each other. See, this is the will of God for us, and the concern is that we do it. And most of all, in relationship to the Lord himself, to seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found, the prophet says. Call upon him while he is near. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Yes, and if we love him as we profess to do, then we are called to keep his commandments. And so we come to the question, do you work at doing the will of God? You wake up in the morning. What's my life's goal today? Well, one of the things should be to do the will of God. And then there is this other aspect that we should work at when we're praying this prayer, and that's proclaiming God's will. So learning his will and doing his will and then proclaiming his will. Well, maybe you say, where's that in the prayer? It's in the word earth. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it's striking to how this prayer is not just about me and God. Our Father in heaven, right? Already there, but here, your will, let it be done on earth. In other words, the whole earth is in view. And that's good for us to think about because we're so self-oriented. Yes, even in spiritual life, me and God, and God is saying, no, it's you and the earth in relationship to himself. And so what this prayer brings out or should bring out in our life is a missionary impulse. And we are to feel it because we just look around and we see that so much of this earth, so many people on this earth are not doing God's will. They don't even know God's will. And if they know it, they don't care about God's will. And we can just run right past that and not even see that. But this prayer opens our eyes to it. This prayer takes us away from our indifference, our natural indifference, to all the despising of God's will that's going on in this world. And says, wait a minute, what's happening? It's like the psalmist in Psalm 119, rivers of water run down my eyes because men do not keep your law. And remember how the Lord Jesus himself gave the commission to the disciples and said, repentance and remission must be preached in his name to the end of the earth. Acts 17, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And now we're saying, Father, your will be done on earth. Oh boy, we have a responsibility. We share in that responsibility that the earth may know that Jesus is King and that we are to submit to him. How do we proclaim the will of the Lord to our neighbors, to our world? Well, it's not easy many times. But let us love people for the sake of Christ. And let us seek to lead them whenever we can to the feet of Christ. Maybe the most important question in relation to this afternoon is whether or not we feel a burden for the earth to do God's will. Well, as we reflect on what we're to work at, isn't it true that we become very quickly convicted of how needy we are? And that takes us to our third point, which in the bulletin is entitled What We Need, but I've changed slightly to What We Plead. What we plead is something that grows out of our need. It's related. What's the first thing we plead for when we pray, Father, your will be done? Well, the first thing implicitly is we pray for pardon, don't we? For pardon. Because what we learn is that we have a will that is by nature opposite to God's will. Isn't that true? That we have a will that is by nature opposite to God's will. So that's not just what we don't do, but what we do. What we do is opposite to God's will. He says, no other gods. And we tend to multiply gods. He says, no graven images. And we tend to sculpt and carve all kinds of idols after our own imaginings and to dictate to God how we are going to live before Him. He says, no blasphemy. Many of you have told me that when you're in company where there is a lot of blasphemy, it can be hard not to. There's such a culture, there's such a pressure. It becomes so natural. You see, that's our natural way. He says, remember the Sabbath day. We so easily don't. It's like when you tell your child not to do something. Right? Don't touch the stove. And almost inevitably you know that hand is going to go out and touch the stove. I remember years ago a minister preaching and saying to the young people at that time, don't go see such and such a movie. And later on one of the young people said, as soon as I heard that, I said, I'm going to go see such and such a movie. And that's reflective of our nature. That is like in Romans 10 verse 21, where the Apostle Paul quotes somewhere from the Old Testament and he describes the Jews as a contrary people. Contrary people. And that's you and me by nature, as sinners in Adam. There's God in all His holiness and grandeur, and here's His will for us, and it's for us who are contrary to it. And so we have an inner impulse that would kick against it and say, no, we're not doing God's will. We're going our way. We're doing our will. Have you seen that in yourself? Have you found that as you listen to God's word, as you study it, as you reflect? On the one hand, it's beautiful, and yet at the same time, there's something in you that just says, I don't want that. It's humbling, isn't it? That's why we have to pray for pardon, to be cleansed, to be forgiven, to be renewed, to be purified. This will come out in a more explicit way in the prayer, as we know, forgive us our debts. because we're never sinless. But already now it's being hinted at. If God's will is going to be done, you and me, we need to be pardoned through the blood of Christ. But not only do we plead for pardon, we also plead, don't we, for power. For power. And we plead for power because the fact is that it is only through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that anyone begins to and goes on to do God's will. Think of how Paul put that in Philippians 2 verse 13 when he said, "It is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure." It is God who works in you. And think of Acts 1 verse 8 when the Lord Jesus was encouraging the apostles with the coming Holy Spirit. And he was saying to them, "You, when the Spirit comes, you will receive power." Now he was talking there especially about mission, about carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth. But the same principle applies also for doing the will of God in every circumstance of life. We need power from on high. We need Holy Spirit power to be able to do even one thing pleasing to God and for His glory. Paul wrote elsewhere about himself in that respect in Colossians 1. He wrote about his working for the Lord, his doing the will of God. And he wrote about how he was doing it, how he was laboring according to the holy energy or holy working of God within his spirit. And this is important, isn't it? Because every believer knows all about this. All about the battle of the wills. It's one thing in family life. It's one thing with our children. But we know it going on at the same time with us and with God. When God says something, when God leads us down a particular path, when God says, "Now this is the way I want you to walk," or "This is the particular thing I want you to do," when His word is explicit, when His will is clear, and there can be in us that we can't, Lord, we won't, how can we? And so by way of this prayer, what we're doing is we're saying, "Help, intervene, come into our life." Someone has said that this third petition of the Lord's Prayer is fundamentally a prayer for help. And you see that reflected even in the catechism, in the explanation that is given for this petition when it says, what is the third petition? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is, grant us that we may renounce our will. Grant us. Give it to us, Lord. Work it in us. Come with your mighty power and transform us. We can't do it on our own. We are so helpless and weak left to ourselves. That is why we are praying, we are pleading that you would make it happen. And how do we know God is willing and able to do that? Well, we know it because of Christ. We've referred to him already with regard to pardon. But think of how he went to the cross for a contrary people. He didn't go to the cross for people who said, "We're so glad you're going there and we're going to help you and make sure that you do it right and we're worshiping you all along the way." He went to the cross for a people who sent him there because they hated him and because they wanted to do away with him. He died for those who were ungodly, and he died for them while we were ungodly. So he knew what he was doing, and he knew that by dying and by rising again, he was purchasing a salvation, a covering, a cleansing for such people, even all who turn to him and who trust in him. At the same time, he was obtaining the Holy Spirit, so that at the appointed time, when he was seated at his Father's right hand in glory, he could send forth, pour out the Holy Spirit. Give that very power that people need to turn to him, to do his will, and to be his people. And this is very practical, isn't it, congregation? Because you may leave here in a few moments and get back into your life, and a temptation comes. And there's the will of God, and there's your own will. And who is going to win? And what do you do at that point? You come back to these words, very words that Christ has given us, and you say, "Father, your will be done on earth. On earth. Help me. Help me." Or something comes up in your life hard, difficult. The way you have to walk is not easy, but it's the way you have to walk. You want to run for the hills, but there's this way you have to walk. Take these words and say, "Father, Your will be done on earth. It's a lifelong prayer, isn't it? It's a lifelong prayer. And that leads really to our last point, what we wait for. Thinking of this being a lifelong prayer, what we wait for. And I put this in words that we will sing later at the end of the service. I believe it's from 4:13. Earth and heaven in sweet accord. That's what we wait for, isn't it? Earth and heaven in sweet accord. Think of the prayer. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want earth to be like heaven. We want earth and heaven not to be contrary, but to be in agreement, to be in sweet accord. We want what we know here to be like what's going on there. Earth and heaven in sweet accord. That's what we wait for. In other words, the full answer to this prayer. It happens, you know, when a believer dies. In principle, it happens. The body goes to the grave. The spirit goes up to be with Christ and is glorified and joins that multitude serving God day and night. About that we know very little, but we know enough to know that it must be glorious. It's perfect. It's the soul doing what the soul was created to do. Day and night, serving with the saints in glory and the angels, willingly and faithfully, and that battle with sin, all finished. But even more, what we wait for is the resurrection, when body and soul will be united, reunited, and when the soul can, through the body, express concretely, tangibly, explicitly, that doing of the will of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that the new man, the resurrected people, they will bear the image of the heavenly man. The being transformed from glory to glory will climax. And we will bear the image of the heavenly man. In other words, in the body or with the body, doing the will of God. Willingly, faithfully, eternally, and all of it in the new world that will dawn. The new heaven and the new earth in which Peter says, righteousness dwells, is settled, has its home, earth and heaven in sweet accord. With this prayer, the Lord Jesus is really stirring us up and making us realize, all right, it's a battle here. Someday it'll be perfect. Someday will happen. Let us long for that. Let us be in a holy way anxious for that, eager for it, for that climax to come. You see, this is a prayer that Jesus, like all of the requests he gives us, it's a prayer that we can be sure the Father will answer. Because it's a truth, it's a request in accordance with the will of God. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It will happen. It will come to pass. But in the meantime, here we are. Here you are, Sean and Becky. And you'll go out from here and you've got your work and we've got our life. And I guess that's why we can be so thankful for this prayer. We've got some praying to do, don't we? Lifelong, your will, Father, here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.